Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Today, Lord, we praise you. We thank you. Because if we're standing on anything else but your blood and any other ground, it's sinking sand. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. We're going to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Today, we're finishing up this series. It's taken us 10 weeks or so, which is probably several months in our economy. But we're going to finish this up with about breaking the chains that bind us. And Romans chapter 8 gives us hope and assurance. And we'll read verses 1 through 9. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's worthy. Glory to God. For that which what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, things of the Spirit. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Verse 9 together, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ is not his. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every other name, Lord, we proclaim peace in this house. We proclaim your Spirit in this house. We proclaim dominion of the Spirit of God over this entire audience. Because, Lord, in these next few minutes, we're going to get into a place where we need to declare our freedom because of the bondage that Satan would want to impose upon us, but we have been set free indeed because of your word. Holy Spirit, just show us those most powerful tools that you've given us that will remove condemnation and guilt and shame and all the things that would keep us down from really fulfilling your will. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. And all of God's people said, you may be seated. One of the most powerful tools of the enemy, as you probably well know by now, is condemnation. The devil will get talking into doing it, then he'll condemn you for what you did. He'll allow you to be tempted or put temptation in front of you and say, see, you really don't know God, but let's go with it a little bit further. It's temptation, condemnation fueled by guilt of bad choices and addictive lifestyles, which I'm going to approach in a whole different angle in just a moment. Oddly enough, present-day culture has deemed it acceptable to be carried away or mesmerized by electronic objects. You got one of these. Don't you? Purse, bag, something like, you better silence it. It may go off and tell on you if you don't. But the deal is this. And we're mesmerized by these that who held in our hand and whisk us away from the reality, ignoring those things around us and endangering those who are traveling down the highway next to us. Because it's got control of you. Isn't it interesting how we can just kind of compartmentalize certain things and we just say, well, that doesn't really matter. But it does. Because chains of addiction are not limited to what can be put in a baggie or mainlined into your bloodstream. Some of us are addicted to our cell phone. I know you don't want to hear that. But you say, well, it's such a valuable tool. But it's got you under its control. I had a friend the other day, I was at the club and working out, and he says, I can't believe it. I took my grandkids out. We went out to dinner, and they ordered dinner, and the whole time they're on their cell phones. They got their dinner, and they're just doing this and this type of thing the whole time. And you know something? That's nothing unusual. Because I remember it was months ago, my wife and I went to a really nice restaurant with a gift certificate. Just want to let you know. Without a gift certificate, I ain't going there. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm too cheap. Okay, all right, so too thrifty. Anyway, so we're sitting in this restaurant, and a few tables away from it, and here's this husband and wife sitting across the table, cell phones just ablazing, and the waiter's, excuse me, the whole time they're on their cell phones. They hardly ate their dinner. They boxed up their dinner. I said, why did you even come here? Now, while you're letting that kind of, you know, marinate, I want to tell you what we're going to talk about today, because it will help you to put this into a frame of reference. Have you realized that God has desired to change your life from glory to glory? To change it. Or, secondly, does the promise of the Holy Spirit's power to set you free from the law of sin and death give you renewed hope for a brighter future? It's kind of generic, but you'll understand what I mean in a moment. Or how about this? Are you willing to allow the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to bring you into freedom from the law of sin and death? What does it look like? We're going to go back into Acts chapter 12, opening the door to the things thought to be impossible. Acts chapter 12, we've been working on this, verses 16 through 18. We're working on this whole deliverance for Peter. But here's the part I want to talk about today. Well, now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Leave that up there for just a moment. I'm going to draw a few things off of that. For those of you who didn't hear the other part of the story, Peter's in prison. The people of the church are praying for him. Angel of the Lord comes and delivers him, breaks the chains off of his life. And he finally arrives at the door. He knocks at the door. They don't let him in. So finally, this is the place when they let him in. And now when Peter continued knocking, when they opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. That's the first point I want to make today. Do you really believe God's going to answer your prayers, or you just pray them and hoping that something happens? My favorite rhyme is, when you wish upon a star, it won't take you very far. That isn't in the nursery rhymes, but that's kind of how we are. But the thing here is, they were astonished. Is it shocking to you that God answers prayer? Let me give you just a real life lesson. This last week, someone came into my office and said, Pastor, you're not going to believe what God did. Well, and this was a pretty astonishing thing, but I need to share it with you over the idea that God is interceding for you at various times when you really can't take care of yourself. Some people in the church, they're in financial difficulty, and they had put some things in a storage locker. And honestly and truly, they didn't have the money to get it out. And so they're there talking to the fellow, well, we won't have the money. It's due in a few days. And if you know, some of the storage lockers work like this. 5 days after it's due, they put it up for collection. 30 days after, they can seize all your stuff and it's gone. That's how it works. All of them are that way, but this particular one is this way. They'll say, well, I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. And we're just going to have to deal with it. And so they're kind of dismayed, well, we don't have the money and we're really sorry. This is what happened 4 days ago. So they're kind of looking at each other, and there's a lady standing next to them, or kind of in the distance. She says, don't I know you? Yeah, I saw you at New Song Church. And she, no, but here's the best part of the story. She says, I want to tell you what happened to me. She says, I've been going to that church for the last 4 or 5 months. The Lord changed my life, delivered me out of addiction, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She says, but you know what? I did some really bad things, and I'm on my way to jail. I deserve to go to jail. She says, but you know what? Don't feel sorry for me, because while I'm in jail, I'm going to witness to people about Jesus while I'm there, that they would come into the kingdom of God. But before I go there, she says, Jesus just told me, I need to pay for your storage locker so you guys won't lose your stuff. And she took out her money and paid for their storage. Here's the reason why I'm telling you this story is that God will use anybody in a circumstance where you've given up, that he is going to use whoever he wants to. The main thing you need to do is just stay in his will, believe and trust in him, and God will work miracles. Why were they there at that time? Why was she there at that time? Guess what? It's called a divine setup. And God has, we've missed so many opportunities, but here these folks, they come to the door, he's knocking at the door, and they're, Peter, what are you doing here? And if I was Peter, I'd say, who have you been praying for? Were you praying for me? Or you just praying to fill the air? Oh my goodness. And then it goes on a little bit further, but he motions them, he says, keep silent, you know, declare the word of the Lord, and who declared to them how the Lord brought him out of prison. That's the part I want you to get a handle on. Is that when God brings you out, you have a responsibility to tell others of what he's done for you. Do not keep silent on the things that God is doing in your life. That's my point in that particular scripture. But let's go on to a couple other things. Bondage is all about how you choose to medicate the pain that you have suffered in your life. It's a choice. It's like you said, it's a choice. And we will choose oftentimes the wrong things. The Holy Spirit will keep knocking at the closed doors in our life toward the things that have that we have deemed impossible. And I believe, unfortunately, with some of us that are in this room, there are certain things that we have deemed, oh, God can't do that. No, there's no way. But I'll just come here and just, you know, just sing praises to him, but it's not going to happen. I'm here to help you. The Holy Spirit will use supernatural experiences that can only be attributed to himself. What that further means is once we have been a recipient of God's deliverance, we must boldly knock on the doors of doubt and disbelief. For the future things that are ahead of you, it's not out of the fact that we feel entitled, but because all of a sudden, wait a minute. The same God that brought deliverance for Daniel is available for me today. Well, consider this. We must not allow doors that have been closed in our face to prevent us from standing firm in our deliverance. Because remember, the very first part, intercession is being made. I appreciate Elder Lee who was talking about the fact we're going to get together on the 23rd. He said, well, why are you coming to church? Why does it have to be Sunday night? Why is it? Really? Really? There ain't nothing on TV except 60 Minutes reruns. You know, and if you really got to have it, use your DVR. Death by, well, never mind. But the point of it is, it's an opportunity for us to exercise the gift of prayer and intercession to watch God work. Well, that means even more so that we must allow answers to our prayers to be known by people to encourage their faith. And God is going to see the faith of many people who will come out to really allow him to do that. Our astonishment at the power of God need not be something that throws us into condemnation. Can I help you with the ideas that if God comes through for something and you didn't have faith to believe in it, it's okay. You're not dismissed from the body of Christ. But it should renew our faith in a God who's able to do the impossible. Well, the victory of our testimony will push back the yokes of bondage over people's lives, which means this. If we live according to the flesh, we cannot receive divine intervention, which means living according to the flesh, according to Romans, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh. What does that look like? Because we can use words and terms, but what does it mean to walk according to the flesh? It means to expect or anticipate that if I don't see it, I don't believe it. Remember, seeing is believing. And if you operate on that particular realm, that particular realm alone, you're going to miss a lot of what God has for you. Well, seriously, it goes this way. If we live according to the flesh, we cannot expect to receive divine intervention because our faith negates what God wants to do. I say, really? Now, I'm going to propose my own problem just for your sake. Church is praying. Peter's delivered. Peter knocks at the door. They don't open the door at first. They open the door. They're astonished. So if I was God, I'd say, y'all astonished? I'm going to put him back in jail. Work it out on your own. Get somebody else, get a hitman to get him out. I don't care. God isn't like us. But what we're allowed to do, we're allowed to grow in our faith and allow God to do the impossible things through us. And it's a lesson to be learned. When we are living in the flesh, we cannot please God. It goes on to say this. We must be aware of the bondage that the enemy desires to keep us held hostage to. And these are the last three we didn't talk about last week in the whole list of 10. So it's going to be 1, 2, 3, and we'll be done. Loneliness and abandonment that drives you into addictive substances and relationships. These are the ways that the enemy keeps us captive. Loneliness. Some of you got married so you wouldn't be alone. And you're lonelier now than you were then. Oh, some of you kind of laugh at that, but it's the truth. Because there's a part of you that just cannot connect on a level because the enemy has held the doors of your heart closed with condemnation from your past. Can I open that for you? This is what it looks like. It drives us to substitutes for intimacy. You say, what does that look like? Mostly adults in here. And if you're not, plug your ears. Do you realize there is a pornography problem in the church that would almost, it's equal to that is going on in the world? You say, what? Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, people are looking at peep shows? Honey, they're buying videos. They're going to strip clubs with their buddies. I mean, you're talking about people that come to church on Sunday morning? Uh-huh. I know people don't talk about this, but it's out there. And the problem is because it's one of those things, a loneliness factor that you've never dealt with or abandonment issues that the devil tells you, you can find a new identity and nobody else has to know this. And this will kind of meet a part of you and fulfill a part of you that's never been fulfilled in your entire life. See, what's that have to do with loneliness and abandonment? The devil paints a picture in your mind and it just seemingly cannot be erased. I know it's quiet in here. Blessed quietness, holy quietness. We forget the scripture that says, Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. In the darkest hour that you've gone through, I went through that with you. I'm going to unpack a particular scripture of my favorite in just a moment, but I want you to marinate on that for just a moment. The Holy Spirit will bring us comfort and assurance, and you don't have to medicate yourself with addictive substances or relationships. Because here's the thing with people they involved in pornography and this type of thing. They put themselves into, fantasize into a particular picture with whoever's there, male, female, whatever, and all kinds of concoctions of groups and that kind of thing. And don't look at me funny. Because people do weird stuff. Oh, yeah. And you don't have to go nowhere to get, just log on, log in. You can have anything you want. Any way, any shape, size, or combination. But I want to tell you, the real heart behind it is loneliness and abandonment. And Jesus says, I'm never going to leave you. Here, let me take you to the next one. Unforgiveness and bitterness toward those who have hurt you. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I'd like to believe everybody in here has just totally cleared the slate from every person and you're walking in the freedom of forgiveness. But I guess history and this is the fact that we're human individuals would tell me that's not necessarily true. But here's the thing, rather than beat somebody up over this, I want to tell you a couple of things, is that unforgiveness is one of the strongest chains that will keep us from moving forward in our life. Because as soon as you get this right, it's like, I just can't break loose. Because you've chained yourself to a person you don't even like. You go, really? You've allowed them to dominate your thoughts. And even if it's not them, if their name comes up and all of a sudden it's a trigger that goes off in you and you're toast. But here's, I'm just making you aware of these things. But unforgiveness is one of the strongest chains. Bitterness is the toxic emotion that will ruin your ability to engage with people and exhibit the love of Christ. It's toxic. have a very small sphere of people that you can really deal with. I had to race on to number three because there's a lot of things we need to finish. I got to finish this today. Fear for the future that keeps you living in the past. Ever had a friend or someone that's dealt with it? The only thing they talk about, hey, I remember back when you tired of it, you heard the same story over and over and over again. Oh, it's like a rerun of, you know, of Lassie or something. Really? That's all they have. They're changing their past. I remember when. God has got a future and a hope for you. And the condemnation of the past has kept you in that place. And so we must not fear making, here's what keeps you changing your past. We must not fear making another mistake. That's what keeps people changing their past. Remember when you did this over here and you weren't successful over here? You cannot move past your last mistake. I'm not going to ask for a showing of hands, but I know there are people that are paralyzed right now, fearful of making another mistake. What does that mean? We must not allow fear of making that mistake. We must allow the grace of God to cover our lives. God's mercies are renewed every morning. Somebody say amen. Amen. That means that he's forgotten all the crazy stuff. And his mercies will give us enough to make another day. Here we go into the God has given us the word of promise of deliverance according to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. Here comes the hope. Get ready for this. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. I like that word, the next word. Rooted. Rooted. Built up in him. I'm playing off the word rooted. And established in faith as you have been taught and abounding in it with thanksgiving. Here we go. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty conceit according to the tradition of men. Stop right there. Ethnicity and tradition will destroy you. Well, in my culture, or the way I learned it, or the way we did it in our house, you know what? When you came to Christ, you're a new creature. And it don't count no more. Well, you know, my people are this way. I tell you what, if I was like my people, God help all of us. And who are your peeps? You know what I'm saying? Lord Jesus. I'm not denying my heritage or anything I've come from, but you know what? When you've got to rely on your heritage or that particular thing, you are in trouble to start out with empty philosophy and empty conceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. If your identity is in anything other than Christ, it will not work. That's why we find our roots in Jesus. Next verse. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And here comes verse 10. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Repeat after me. I am complete in Christ, who's the head of all principality. I don't need anything else other than Jesus who rules my life. I have the power to defeat the enemy. He has no hold over me. And from this day forward, I can be all that Christ desires me to be. Come on, applaud and make the devil real upset about that. So, next principle is, and God has given you his word that he will deliver you. 2 Kings 20, verse 5. This we're going to do the fast forward, the move. This is the bonus round, okay? This is what God speaking. He says, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. And on the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. You know what I like about God? He's precise. Many times we will receive a word from the Lord, But we don't pay attention to the details. Notice it says there, I've heard your prayer. Okay, I can get that. I've seen your tears. I can get that too. I will surely hear you. I get that. On the third day, God is a God of timing. And sometimes on the second day, we get nervous. God said on the third day. I want you to stop getting ahead of yourself and realize that you're in a process that God is working out for your good. Now, the story about Hezekiah was, you know, God said, he had a prophecy where it says, you're going to die and you're not going to live. And he was upset. The Bible said he turned his face to the wall and he lifted his eyes up to the hills. And he says, God, I just don't want to do this. And God says, I heard your prayer. Quickly about this is God has heard your prayers and he will heal you. He has seen your tears that you have shed. He has not forgotten the things that you have done in his name and accounted for righteousness. Let me go on to the next one real quickly. God will rescue you from what seems to be certain death. Psalm 107 verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Do you know what? I have a word for somebody in this house right now. God is sending his word to you today that which you thought was the end is just the beginning. That which you thought was going to take you out is going to bring you into a greater experience than you've ever known in your life as far as Jesus is concerned. If you but trust and put your confidence in the Lord, don't look to the right, don't look to the left, but look totally to Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of your faith. He said, oh, yeah, and somebody says, that's me. And others, I wish it was me. That's our problem. But it's the word of God. When it hits our heart, it brings healing. And we know that is us. All we have to do is begin to thank him and praise him for what he's about to do. Simply said, God sent his word. He will dispatch angels into the prison of your circumstances. Remember what happened to Peter? Peter's laid up there in jail. One guard on the left, one guard on the right. And the angel appears and he said, get up. Now, how many times you received a word from God and God said, get up, and you sat there? God gave you a word. Well, I would get up, but I don't really feel like getting up. Some of us are like, that's not a kind word. But we're like hogs. We wallow in our own mire. And we're comfortable there. But God said, get up, shake it off. We're about to do something different than you've never done before. And so if you realize that, you know, and the angel got a little violent with Peter. I kind of like what he does. It's really quite nice. He says, and he says, raise up and say, arise quickly. And his chains fell off. And he says, gird up yourself. And he says, put on your sandals and tie. Gird yourself and put on your sandals. You know what? God has gotten into details. God won't leave out. He says, put on your sandals, because he's been like, oh, what do I need my sandals for? You asked too many questions. Get up. Gird yourself. What girding yourself means, get yourself prepared for a journey. And God's about to take you someplace. And he put on the garment, put on your garment and follow me. And he followed him, and he didn't know it was an angel. That's okay. We'll deal with that another time. Okay, let's move on quickly. We're going to go, God will bind up your brokenness and heal your heart. Psalm 147:3. This is one I need to really spend a little time with. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. As I was looking at this particular scripture, the Holy Spirit just kind of ambushed me. And I'm going to stop right now in the middle of my sermon to do this. Every head bowed. You say, is it altar call time? For somebody it is. Every head bowed. Now listen to me carefully. God says, I will bind up your broken heart. I want every person in this room right now that know your heart has been broken over a situation, a circumstance, a relationship. I'm not going to have you come to the altar now, but I want you to lift your hand right now. Do it right now. In the name of Jesus, do it right now. Lift up high. Just leave it there for a moment. Because we're about to kick the devil out. Put your hand down. All right, you can lift your heads up in just a moment. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. Do you know what God's going to do today? For every person that just raised their hand, you say, but I've had this for years, Pastor. I don't know. It's just, I don't know whether it can be done. Will you start aligning your faith with mine? My faith says you're going to be delivered today. Unless you really like being brokenhearted. Because God says, I want to heal you. And I want to spend the rest of my time telling you what that looks like. See, here's the brokenhearted piece is one of the things that's last in the body. The brokenhearted people are those who have lost the desire to live as God intended for them to live. You are living secondarily to the brokenness that's in your life. They used to tell us when I was a kid, you're living beneath your privilege. God has designed for you to live away, and you find yourself, I just can't live that way because I'm really not worthy enough, and my heart's been broken, this person betrayed me, and I've been hurt, and I've been wounded, this type of thing. I want to tell you that's a lie. God is going to heal your brokenness today. I feel something stirring up right now in the spirit. Broken people are people that trusted and had their trust broken and shattered. And the picture the Lord gave me as those hands went up was some of you were in a relationship with someone very close to you. Could have been mom, could have been dad, could have been a boyfriend, could have been a husband, wife, child, this type of thing. And they did or said something that absolutely crushed you, and you have never been able to move past that. And God says, today is your day for freedom. You said, how do you know? Because Jesus said it. Is anything too hard for me? One other little part toward this, and wow. God will bring healing to the brokenhearted ones, which means the Lord will restore hope to those who have allowed their hearts to be lost in despair and gloom. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. This is what he says. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have been closed. They have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Leave that up there on the screen. No, leave that up there. Because we're gonna unpack it. Put it back up there. When it says the hearts of the people have grown dull, in other words, it's like Novocaine is shot into your being. You can't feel anymore. You've gotten used to disappointment, being betrayed, and this type of thing. You don't even process it anymore. But this is how it works. Their ears have been hard of hearing. You hear it, but you don't hear it anymore. It just passes through you. Your eyes have closed. They have closed. You just don't see it. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. But here's the big part. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn. God is opening up your heart so you can turn it over to Him. What does that look like? These next few minutes will tell the story. Jesus has done what the law could not do. We go back into Romans and it just shows you what He did. Romans says this, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. You know what the Holy Spirit told me? He says, some of you are walking dead men or women. Or you can still go through the motions. But the part of you that really can be alive to God is dead. And God says, I'm going to make alive again. I'm going to renew by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to refresh you and restore you in ways that you can't even imagine. Go to the next little piece here. It says, in the deeds of your flesh. It says, yeah, that's right. No, the next 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Worship team, start making your way up here. I'm just about ready to close, but there's one last thing I want to leave with you. We're led to, by the Spirit, to relationship with God. We receive the spirit of belonging to God by the Spirit. We don't have the spirit of bondage according to the flesh, but here's this. The power to say no can only come from a life totally surrendered to the power of God. Those of you who struggle with various issues and you find yourself going relapsing or whatever you want to call it back into sin, but the Holy Spirit will give you the power to say no to those things that have kept you in bondage. Bondage can only have control over those who have the spirit of fear. You know what the spirit of fear looks like? It says, you're going to fail again. Don't even try to get free. You tried it before, it didn't work. Just stay in kind of that comfortable zone. Just use grace as a calling card over your life, and you'll be fine. But God says, no, I've got an even greater place for you to live. I've got the power of God to make you an influence in this culture where you'll be able to set other people free, because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. The Spirit confirms the fact that we belong to Jesus. I made you a promise. I was going to talk to you about my favorite scripture. Those of you who know me, it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But will, with the temptation, make a way of escape, you'll be able to endure it. I thought I knew what that scripture means, and I really do know what it means. But the part that we don't get, that I think I get a little bit better today, is that God will not allow you to go through any temptation that he hasn't equipped you to be successful to make it through. That means if that old issue, drugs, pornography, promiscuity, whatever it happens to be, comes back to you, and your flesh is screaming, God says, I will give you the faith, the power to endure it. You don't have to sin. The other piece I'll tell you about this is the whole idea is that what the devil does, and this is the oldest trick in the book, because you thought about it, you might as well do it. And you know, and that's an easy pushover. Well, I'm thinking about drugs, I might as well go get some. Are you kidding me? The sin is not in thinking about it. The sin is acting upon it. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Could you just stay before the Lord for a moment? I just got to lift my hands to Jesus because there's something really, really strong he wants to do today. Will you just wait in his presence for a moment? Don't anyone move around, because what happened a few moments ago when that whole broken piece that you folks identified with, it helped me get in touch with brokenness that I experienced in my life. I believe I've resolved the issues. But sometimes the devil wants to put the pain back. And foolishly, I made the mistake of thinking that I couldn't be free from the pain. That the humanness of my being just had to revisit the pain once again. And you know what? That's not true. Jesus, would you Would you do what you do so well? Would you bring comfort to people who've struggled for so long that even a struggle to come into this room today and to hear this word would try to be uprooted by guilt and fear and all those different things? While you're sitting there for a moment, I need to just rehearse a couple of things that the Spirit's just laid upon my heart. Some of you would have a picture of yourself walking down this dark hallway, a light at the end, and it seems like halfway down the hallway, your strength has given up. You want to be there, but it seems like it's so far away, and it seems like you get so close, and then you give up and say, well, it's just not for me. Heartache and disappointment are hard to deal with. May I speak specifically to, there are three young men in this place today, three of you. Specifically, I'm going to speak to you right now. The pain that's in your spirit right now from unfulfilled desires to be fathered by your father doesn't leave you. And the anger and the bitterness, or even the fact that you never had a chance to know him, haunts you. And God says, I want to heal you. For women today that feel unworthy of God's presence because you've chosen to allow yourself to be abused and to be defamed, demoralized by men in your life, and you call it acceptance, and God says, you don't have to live that way anymore. I love you. I'll never forsake you. I'm going to pray. At the end of my prayer, I don't even know how we're going to handle this, but it doesn't matter. The only thing that Jesus is saying today is if you come to him, if you will allow him to do the work, your life will change forever. The bondage, the chains will be broken off. Jesus, that's a huge promise, but you know, I don't have any obligation to try to make anything work because you're the one who does the healing and you're the one who restores people. But Lord, the only thing they get to do is just to come to you today and allow your presence and your power and your anointing to bring forth the healing they need. Lord, there are men and women here today that for the very first time in their life, they're going to give their life over to you as being their Savior, even though they thought they did it before, but today is a whole different look at it. Rather than want to escape the fire of hell, they want to come into relationship with you, and it's a whole different thing. And so, God, I pray today, as people come today, they come to you, and the healing comes and freedom reigns. Would you all stand to your feet? And those of you, I'm not going to prod anybody. Everyone stand. If Jesus is calling you, which he is, just come right now. Don't wait for your neighbor to keep you coming.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.